Please help me welcome our speaker tonight, Dave D. from the Thursday Night Beginners Group of St. Izzy's.
Hello, my name is Dave Davies, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey.
All right, so I like to follow a simple format, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. My problem started way before I started drinking. I was very nervous. I'll be honest, I'm nervous right now. That hasn't changed a whole lot, but, well, some things have, some things don't change as quickly. I was a very nervous kid, and I found it very hard to be with people. So I spent a lot of time on my own, hiking through the woods and stuff. I lived out in the country. I had one friend. And that's pretty much growing up. I always had one friend that's like kind of like what I could handle, you know, at any given time. I never really hung out with groups of people. When I was 8 years old, I moved away from the first place I lived, and I felt very uncomfortable because it was just a really new environment. It wasn't in the country anymore, living like where there's sidewalks and stuff, you know. It was different, you know. That same uncomfortability, I remember things, you know, crazy things like trying to make friends with people, and one girl saying, hey, I got my pants from Strawbridge and Clothier, and the other girl says, I got my pants from Army Navy, and I thought, you know, like that was like, I said, and I got my pants from Goodwill. So that was like, wow, you know. Anyhow, that was how awkward I was with people, you know. And then when I was 12 years old, I had this friend, Steve, and he introduced me first to marijuana, and then brought a six-pack out. And I got into the second beer, and I knew I had to hammer the third beer because I was going to drink the fourth before he got his third beer. And I was like, I feel good, you know. But the only thing was, I needed more. And, I was off to the races. That was like 12 years old, and by the time I was 14, like, it gets real fuzzy. Honestly, it gets really, really fuzzy for me growing up, because when I was 12, I had that first drink, and by the time I was 14, I drank done powdered goods, the cannabis, of course. And when I couldn't get anything, you know, and I know this is, you know, this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but this is all part of my story. Because when I couldn't get any alcohol, I would try to fill myself with anything. And when I could get alcohol, it let me fill myself with anything else. You know, I felt like invincible, you know. I couldn't really even do most of those things I did unless I was first drinking, you know. But by the time I was 14, I was like huffing glue too. You know, I was just doing anything to get out of my head. So, 14 was my first visit to Horsham Clinic. It was good. It was a pause, but it wasn't like I didn't do anything with it. I said what they wanted me to say. At least what I thought they wanted me to say, and did what I thought they wanted me to do. And I got out, and by the time I was 16, I was back again, you know, back at Horsham Clinic. And this time it was worse. I don't know exactly what happened, but I think I had like a fifth of vodka, maybe a fifth of half of vodka, went to somebody's party and started a fight. The police came, I ran away from them, ended up a short stay at Building 16. A lot of you won't know what that is. That's a Building 51 or something now, you know, emergency services in Norristown. And don't really remember that, you know. So I remember my thought on that was, well, I went to Horsham Clinic again, and I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll get sober this time. Maybe I'll do it a little different because it's getting pretty messy, and I'm only 16 at this point, you know. But, you know, I was out for a while, and I was like, you know, it probably was just because I was drinking hard liquor, you know, so I won't drink hard liquor anymore. I'll switch over to, like, wine and beer. And then wine got me sick, so then I just stuck with beer and other things. So 16 to 19, you know, and it's hard to share a lot of it because I really don't remember it. All I know is by the time I was 19, I had slit my wrist, I'd slit my throat. You know, I just wanted to be gone. Just wanted out. You know, really, really, I don't know, just miserably, miserably unhappy and depressed, you know, just all the time. And then I started working a lot. And that, you know, I kind of switched that to my addiction, you know. So I could get through the work day, you know, and without doing anything. So, I mean, I always worked. I started working when I was 14, but when I was 19, I really started working a lot. Like, the one job I worked, like, for 13 weeks, my shortest week was, like, 83 hours. So, like, I just would, like, work. And at the end of the work day, I'd go down to, like, the Ambler Cabaret, and I'd set up the horseshoe, and just beers for everybody, you know, feeling like a big shot and all that, and have a couple beers, go home, go to bed, and then go back to work. So, in a way, I mean, it's just another replacement of an addiction, but it kind of worked for quite a few years because I just didn't have time to get out of my head. So it spared me a few years, you know, of like really trashing myself. But slowly, it just it was like, you know, maybe I could have a beer or two at lunch, you know. And then it was like, well, I don't know, maybe I could just have a beer to take the edge off, you know, at first break, you know, and then I would go out at lunch, and I only had a half hour of lunch, so, you know, just hammer down three or four beers, you know, that was like my lunch, you know. I would skip food, because food would, you know, get in the way of the effect of the beer, you know. And it seemed like that was just the way things were going to go, you know. I was just going to, like, work, drink, do drugs. That was going to be my life, you know. And then I thought, you know, well, I probably won't live that long anyhow, so it shouldn't be a real problem. It should be major issues, you know, because I'll be out of here soon, you know. But that just kept going on and on. I kept being here. And so I figured I better do something, you know, something different, because this isn't working. And I actually did get myself involved in some different types of work, like, you know, for my head, you know. I tried a lot of things before I even considered AA. I did this thing called Landmark Education. It was helpful, you know. I worked with people, worked things through, but I was still denying, even though I really got that I was an alcoholic, I was denying that I was powerless over it and that my life was, you know, unmanageable. Even though my life was pretty much unmanageable from the get-go, I didn't want to see that. And I also thought, like, I'm too smart to not have power over this, you know? I've got to be able to figure this out. There's got to be a way I can do this and be okay. You know, there's got to be a way I can drink two or three beers, you know, like the guys do, and then just stop. And damn, like, I couldn't. I never could, you know. And then once I would get going, then I would be like, hey, I'll do some other stuff too. That would keep me going, you know. I mix it all up. And then one night, I think I was like 19, 20 years old. I was drinking. I decided to pop a few of my sister's pills. And I woke up with somebody sticking a needle in my chest, you know, to wake me back up, you know. So I don't know how that all happened, but, you know, then I was a trip to the hospital. I guess before that, when I was 18, I turned 18 in Montgomery Hall. So that's just kind of like was the trajectory of my life, you know. Yet, I'm really stubborn. I'm really stubborn. I mean, at that point, some people had talked to me about, you know, the effects of alcohol and how some people have like this sickness where they can't drink, you know, and I took one of those pamphlets. I don't remember exactly what it had on it to this day. It was like, anyhow, it was all these things you check off, and if you checked off like three, you could be an alcoholic. There was like 20 things, and I checked off like 15. So it was real clear to me at that point, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. But my life's not unmanageable, you know? I can be an alcoholic and be okay with this. I can do this, you know? So that's what I decided would be okay until I ran into this work that I was doing with Landmark, and then I got to work with Youth at Risk, which was really cool. We took these inner city kids out of Philly and worked with them for like 13 days at a camp. So it was really good for me too, because I couldn't drink and drug while I was there, you know? So it was like really, I mean, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was kind of putting myself in the program, you know? But it was good. It was, so I did a lot of that stuff, like little stints, you know, where I would get myself sober through helping other people, you know? And it did work. And I get why it did, because it works today, you know? I mean, you know, helping other people keeps me sober. So I get why it worked for little periods of time. I feel like primarily very early on, I was kind of onto something there, but what I didn't really want to believe in a higher power of any sort. I just didn't like that idea. And when I did think of a higher power, I had a lot of resentment and anger towards that higher power. You know, I thought, if there is a God, this is bleeding bullshit, you know? Because I can't have a life like this if there's a God. You know, God would do more for me. But that was really selfish thinking, you know. I mean, on hindsight, you know, looking at that with perspective. Anyhow, so I kind of stumbled along like that, and then I met an incredible woman. When I met her, she was actually married to a friend of mine. I met him too at the same time, and we got to know each other. They made me their daughter's godfather, and then he stepped out of the picture. And then she found this Godfather's Day card, which was crazy, because she said she's never seen one ever since. But I was like, wow, because I really like this woman. And so we started dating. We got married. We're still married. That's my wife. So anyhow, that really changed my life. And I stayed sober for her for a long time. You know, I stayed sober for her for like 2 years so that she would marry me. And then we got married, and I stayed sober for a few more months, and then I was back to the races again. So. And then there was the talk of, well, when Satara's older, you know, I'll put this stuff aside. But we went to get life insurance, and I found out from some of the things I was doing, I had hepatitis C. So that was a serious, serious wake-up call. Didn't know what that all meant, but, you know, I went and saw a gastroenterologist, and he explained to me what it all meant and what I needed to do, and I quit drinking. And I quit drinking for, I think, like 13 years. You know, now I replaced it. You know, I smoked a lot of marijuana at that time. So, you know, for me, you know, and I won't say this for all alcoholics, but for me, you know, I've got like this need to fill this space, or I should say, I've had that need to fill this space with some sort of drug, alcohol, work. You know, just Gotta fill it. Couldn't be present to myself. But for 13 years, I didn't drink, and I was like 5 or 6 years clear, you know. And the gastroenterologist said, hey, you know, I'll even write a letter if you want to get life insurance. You're good, and all that. And then I said to my wife, you know, at this time we also have a son too, you know. And I said to my wife, hey, you know, I think I'm gonna drink a few beers from time to time. You know, I think that's what, just from time to time. You know, and my wife knew me real well, so she said, "Yeah, this is what's gonna happen, Dave. You're gonna have a beer or two, and In a week to 10 days, you're going to have a case with them. And I muttered under my breath, nah, that's not going to happen. Not this time, you know? I got like 13 years, no alcohol, it's reset, you know? And damned if, you know, I don't know if it was 8 or 9 days, but it was definitely a case or two of beer. And beer got a lot better in that time, you know? And it was like all this real high alcohol beer, you know? So I decided I won't drink as much as I used to drink, but I'll just drink like Weyerbacher, you know, just like things that are 7, 8, 9%, you know? And that's what I did. And I was like, oh, well, if I was an alcoholic, I wouldn't be drinking these classy beers, you know? I mean, you know, I'd be drinking my old Coors Extra Gold, you know? So I did that. And I did that for like 3.5 years. And I was doing it right up to the day I stopped. I was down at Cocoa Beach with my wife, actually doing acid that day too. So again, just having fun. And my son called, and my son at the time he was like 18, going on 19, and his life was falling apart just like mine was when I was that age, you know. And my life was still apart, but that was my ultimate bottom, you know. That was like, wow, you know, all the things you said, Dave, you were going to do, you know, when your daughter got to a certain age, you'll stop doing the drinking. When your son gets to this age, you'll stop smoking the pot, you know. I mean, I believed those things when I would say them, you know, and then I'd see that they wouldn't come to pass. And there was always that same thing, like with the alcohol, like, man, how is that possible, you know? How is it I get up in the morning and I say, I'm not going to drink today, and I'm drinking my first break? You know, how is that possible? But when my son called, that was it. I said to my wife, we have to go home from the vacation tomorrow. We got to be with our son, and we got to figure this thing out. We had another incident when I got home, and I had to actually call the police, and I had to tell him, and forgive me because I don't know 302-203, but I had to tell him that you either have to, whichever one it is you can do to yourself, or we're going to do it for you because you're hurting yourself and you're scaring us and we don't want you to die. And so we got him help. And that was like my first, like, not selfish thing I did in a long time. You know, was to get on page. I mean, my wife had been, you know, just begging me for years, not just for my sake to get my head together, but like, look at what you're doing to the family, you know. So that was my first move, like, okay, I'm going to do something like for my family and something adult, you know. I mean, at this point, I'm in my 50s and I'm still acting like a kid. You know, and it was true, you know. It was like my wife had 3 kids, you know, and I was one of them, and she had a good job. So if I didn't, even, you know, that I have my own contracting business, if I wasn't bringing the money in well, you know, because I was spending on everything else, it was okay, you know. That was in my head, it was okay. I mean, it was definitely not okay. But so we got him into first, it was a, you know, a short-term rehab sort of situation, and then he went down to West Palm Beach, where he's still at, and he went into a, I can't think, but anyhow, a recovery house, and that was really good. He was doing well, and he was also doing IOP during the day, and that was going really well, and I got to talk to his therapist and stuff, and at that point, I think I was maybe 3 weeks without a drink or any other mind-altering substance other than coffee. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it on my own, but I hadn't done anything yet. And I asked her, I said, hey, you know, I'm having this problem. She's like, well, I'm not your therapist. I'm like, but you're an AA, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, this is an AA-related question. I'm an alcoholic, and I don't know what to do. And she said, well, I would do 90 and 90. And so that night, I went down to my home group, which is St. Izzy's Beginners Group, which is Thursday night, and I met a lot of really awesome people. One of them is Philly Rich, and when I was there, I signed my name, Dave Davies, because I'll respect anybody's anonymity, but I need to tell everybody who I am because I need people to know that I'm an alcoholic. I let my customers know. I hid that for so long that I could hide it from myself again. I know it, you know, so I have to be really straight about that. Anyhow, he counts down the list and he's like, "Dave Davies, I worked on your car today." And it's like, that's just crazy, you know? I mean, anyhow, so, and that's just like the first of thousands of wild and crazy things that have happened since I've been here a little over 4 years. And I'll say my sobriety date is June 21st, 2018. So, you know, it's that was the beginning. You know, I was like 3 weeks into my sobriety, and then Rich came up to me after the meeting and said, how many days do you have? I'm like, I got 20 days. And he's like, okay, well, I'm sharing in November. You're speaking for me. And I was like, well, you know, so the first meeting, and he's like, but it was good. It was really good for me. It was like, you belong here. And I did. And I do, you know. There's not a group of people in my life ever that I've met or hung with that I love and care about to the level that I care about you guys here, you know, because I spent 40 years drinking and drugging, and I could not find a solution, and solutions right here, you know, the 12 steps are incredible. As soon as I made that decision, yeah, I am powerless over alcohol. Then things started opening up, you know, and I could really only do a half a step at first, I'll be honest. You know, I still wasn't believing my life was unmanageable, you know, but seeing like what my son went through and what he came back from, thank God, you know, my life was unmanageable, you know, it was, and then I'm sure as many of you in the room know, you know, as you start to wake up, or as I started to wake up, because it took a while, well, I'm still waking up, I'll be honest, you know, I'm still waking up, but boy, that first 3 to 6 months, man, there were a lot of cobwebs, you know, and it was a lot I was hiding from, you know. A lot I was hiding from, because there was a lot of shame, you know, the shame of what I did to my family, shame of how I used them, and shame of all the stories I made up about myself, like how unfriendable I am and how what a scumbag I was, you know, because that's just what I believed about myself, and it wasn't true, you know. I mean, I definitely did things that were very unrespectable, don't get me wrong, you know, I mean, did some really not kind things to my family and to who I would call my friends, you know, but I do have a sickness, I mean, I'm a full-fledged alcoholic. It took me 40 years to come out of that, you know, and see, like, not only am I a full-fledged alcoholic, but there's a solution, and you know, I will be grateful for the rest of my life, you know, to Bill and Bob for, you know, I mean, when I think about those guys and the way they would correspond and stuff and wouldn't see people for a month and they'd stay sober, I mean, I think, God, that's just incredible. I mean, because I needed that 90 and 90. I did a lot more than 90 and 90. Some days I go to 3 meetings, you know. That's what it took me, you know, just to keep saying, having people say to me, keep coming back, you know, it works if you work it, and, you know, if you keep coming around, you know, this, you know, the promises do come true. So I started working the steps. This meeting here was like my third, maybe my fourth meeting. The guy came up from Wilmington, Delaware. He's like wearing a 3-piece suit, he's a lawyer, and he really impressed me, but, He told a really, really good, you know, he just had a good message. And right at the end of his speaking, he said, if you're new in this program, and I'll say this too, you know, if you are new in this program, get a sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, get a temporary sponsor, because you need one, you know. I needed one, I know. And that meeting, I got a sponsor, and it was Jeep Jeff, and he's just a great guy. He's still, like, so dear to my heart. I mean, he was so good to me, you know. He would do stuff like say, hey, Dave, we're going to meet over at the in Hellertown at the big parking lot there for 78, and I'm going to go to a meeting. I'm like, okay, well, I'll drive. He's like, no, I'll drive. And so we'd go over there, and he'd pick me up. We'd run up to Tannersville, and we'd go to this huge meeting up there. It was like 110 people, and it's all these recovery houses. They bring everybody in, and then you have a meeting. And then afterwards, we'd all go down to a diner up there and have another meeting. So I'd meet with this guy for like 4 hours for this meeting, driving up, driving back. And I didn't even know what he was doing, but man, he was teaching me so much so fast. And he, you know, I know different people do it differently, but he like flew me through the steps, you know. It was like a month and a half, 2 months, and we had done everything, you know. And he was just like, now go out and help other people, you know. You know, just get out there and help other people. And because that's how he was taught. And that's how I like to do it. I do it differently with different sponsees, you know, because it just works differently. But I truly believe, like, just like they, like Bill and Bob and all those beginners, those early people did, they didn't wait, you know. We don't have to wait, you know. The solution is here, it's now. So, personally, I highly recommend not waiting, you know. I waited 40 years, you know. I also gotta say, I don't really believe 40 miles in, 40 miles out, you know. I've heard people say that. I meandered a lot. It might have been 40 miles out, but it's like 3 or 4 miles back in. It's not as bad as all that, you know. I'll be honest, that stressed me out, because I was like, what are you saying? Like, I'll be okay if I live to like I'm 96, you know? Like, I'm going to be all right, you know? It's like, well, I didn't just come here just to not drink, you know? And I don't stay here just not to not drink. As a matter of fact, I remember in the beginning saying to my sponsors, like, well, you know, how long do I have to just keep doing all these meetings, you know, every week? And he just said, well, you know, basically, you know, I mean, he started with, like, how often did you drink? You know, that was the first. I mean, that's what he started with me, just how often did you drink? And I drank every day, all the time. It's like, well, you know, as long as you need that, you should do that, you know. I don't do that now. I do at least 3 or 4 meetings a week. That seems to be good for me. But I got to be honest, you know, coming up on, you know, like 4 years, 4 months, whatever, if I don't do the 3 meetings a week, I get the restless, irritable, discontent, you know. I get crazy thoughts. I get crazy thoughts all the time anyhow. I mean, I had a crazy thought today that, like, I mean, obviously I didn't act on it, but I thought, you know, it would relax me for speaking tonight. but that thought was there. It was there, you know. I'll just be straight about it, you know. Fortunately, these days, it's just a thought. And it's like, the tape just runs automatic. I used to have to kind of get the tape going, but it's just automatic. It's like, I can't even express how much has happened for me in 4.5 years. My wife and daughter, I live with them. My son, of course, lives in Florida, but especially my wife and daughter, I'm so close with them. You know, like we have a very close and loving relationship. And I thought I had screwed that one up, you know, like that couldn't happen, you know, because I had spent so many years making it wrong, you know. And that's why I also don't believe it's like that 40 miles out, 40 miles in, because, you know, I spent like 20 plus years making a mess of my relationship with my wife. and she stayed with me, and we have a super relationship. I love her so much, I went line dancing with her the other day, you know? I mean, you know, and I'm horrible at it, I would just say. I'm horrible, but I love her, and I do that for her, and for the most part, I was okay. I had a few moments where I just was in my head. Just like being up here, you know? I have a few moments here where I'm in my head, and I'm thinking, what am I gonna say, and stuff, and I know every time I speak, I wonder if I'm gonna have anything to say, you know, I'll be honest, you know, and I'm wondering if I'm gonna have anything valuable to share. But, you know, I'm another alcoholic, so I'm sure I have some relatable stuff to share with you, you know. But, what I really want to share for the rest of my share is just how incredible this program's been for me, and that this, you know, I know that different people can do different things different ways, but this for me is like, it's worth all the hardship I went through, because I don't think I could be the person I am right now with, first of all, without this program, but also some of the hardships I went through, because I you know, as they say, you know, it takes what it takes to get to a place where you can make the change, you know, and it hurts sometimes, you know. You know, when you're trying to work with somebody and you see, like, they're just not ready, you know. And then I think about that. That helps me, because I think about how that must have been for my wife, or how it was for my parents, when they could see, like, no matter what they did for me, I wasn't ready. And then the miracle happened. And I can't call it anything other than a miracle, because for multiple reasons, I believe that there is a higher power. I call that higher power God. That's a miracle that I believe that. It's a miracle that one day I just decided this is no longer the way to live, and there is a solution, and the solution was here, you know? Because before I even came to AA, I was still involved with that Landmark group. And, I spoke to, and I didn't even remember any of this till today. I spoke to that group of people, just like I'm speaking to you, and told them what I'd done in my life, about my son, about my wife, and I shared that with them. And believe me, they were much more strangers to me than you guys are, you know? So it was like, one of the things that I really hold on to in this program is rigorous honesty. For me, that is the most important thing that I can do to make this program work, is be rigorously honest. And I also got to see those 40 years, I was rigorously dishonest, you know, until I got sober and I get to really look at myself and see myself. I would tell you anything, just so you would leave me alone about what I'm doing, you know? So, it's like a total flip. And that's the miracle of it for me. I know what continues to make it work, but I don't know what that spark was, you know? That initial thing that got me to come into here. And like when some stranger tells me to do 90 and 90, and I just say, yeah, I'm gonna do that. I mean, I'm a pretty egotistical person. I pretty much do what Dave thinks is best, you know? And nowadays, in the morning, I find myself meditating and praying. And my prayer is, you know, God, let me be a gift to those around me. And let me shine my, you know, your light through me, that I can help another person. And it's the people in these rooms, but it's the people, my customers, and the people I see when I'm walking my dog. You know, like anybody, can I just contribute? And I was getting lost recently. My wife and I were looking to get a new car. And I know this is kind of a, you know, a diversion, but it actually makes sense. You know, we're looking to get a new car, not brand new, but something pretty fancy. And I was getting really like, I want this thing. But it was also stressing me out really bad. And, And Nick sent me this thing this morning, which is, you know, that's the way God works, you know. And I read this thing, and it's like, if you're getting stressed and you're a little, you know, off balance, take a look at what's going on in your life. And my focus was wrong, you know. And it was really weird. I got home, and my wife's like, you know, we don't need to do this. And I was like, Leah, let's not do this. You know, you and Sitara can still share the car you're sharing, and we're fine, and we won't do this, you know. And I loved it. It was a great reading. I can't think of exactly what it was this morning, but it was just basically about, like, being grateful and being happy with what I have. And I am so incredibly grateful and thankful for what I have. And when I get into that disease of more, which is like right along with my alcoholism, it takes away from my gratitude, you know? Cause then it's like, I start looking at what I don't have. And that's for me, that's a real dangerous focus, you know? Cause if I do that, there'll always be so much I don't have, you know? But what I do have, I have all you guys here tonight. I get to share this with you, and that's incredible. What I do have is I have my sobriety. I have a really clear thinking brain now. I mean, I thought it was clear the first year, and I thought it was really clear the second year, but you know, like 4 years in, it's still like, it's clearing more. It's amazing, you know? I mean, I'd read some stuff and some therapists had told me, you know, you know, it can take 4 or 5 years for your brain to like actually clear itself out. You know, you get all that stuff, I don't know, get the neurons working right or whatever. But it's true. It's true. You know, I feel my brain getting clearer and my thoughts getting clearer. When I'm at work, I'm more productive. I can get more done in less time. Speaking of that, you know, when I was at work, I always thought my customers owed me something. You know, and I'm in a service business, and I thought my customers owed me something. So I totally was missing the mark on that, you know. They don't owe me anything. They provide me with a living, you know. They actually are a gift to me. And that's what I am to them now. My motto is I treat your home like my own. And I live that now, you know. It's incredible because once again, that was something I came up with because I thought that would sound good, you know. But it's actually the truth now, you know. But when I made it up, you know, I was running it by somebody who was doing a brochure for me and stuff. Like, hey, yeah, just say that, you know. I was like, hey, yeah, okay, that works, you know, that sounds good. But it's true. And except that, you know, most of my customers, I've put their houses a little more right than my houses. That's the only thing. But, and I love that, you know, and I have customers who really love me too, which is really cool, you know, cause I used to think business is business and you gotta like, you know, business and personal don't mix, but I don't believe that anymore. I believe my life, all of it is just my life, you know, and if I try to, segment it or anything, it doesn't work. You know, when I was drinking and drugging, I was segmenting my life. You know, I had the people I hung out with and I did these things with, and then sometimes I would go to church with my wife and I would try to act a different way and stuff. And I don't do that anymore. You know, like, the way I am with you guys is the way I am with my customers. My one customer today, I told him I was nervous. I was speaking at a meeting. He's like, oh yeah, what's that? I said, hey, you know, I've been a member of AA for quite a few years now, you know, and he's like, that's cool. He said, you know, there's a good group of non-judgmental people, you know, and that's what I find when I share with people is like, it's not the boogeyman that I thought, you know, that's also comes right back to that rigorous honesty, you know, like, it's good. It works, you know. At first when I would say it was a kind of a fake it till you make it thing. Yeah, well, I'll be rigorously honest with this, or I'll be rigorously honest with that, but like, I just want people to know me, you know? And I just want people to know the truth about me, and I don't want to ever have that, like, live in that kind of shame state that I lived for so many years where I thought people couldn't know who Dave was because Dave's sometimes a shy guy, Dave's sometimes kind of a nervous guy, and that won't fly. So you know, that's why I would do the, you know, that was a big part of the alcohol and the drugs, you know, was to make Dave not shy and nervous. But then he was an asshole, to be honest with you guys. I mean, so it's just an incredible program that has just changed my life, and I'm so thankful you guys are all here to, you know, let me share this with you. And I do want to reiterate, like, if you don't have a sponsor, please get a sponsor or a temporary sponsor. It's like really important. It's at least for me, it was the beginning of me having a life again, and it all started right in this room. So thank you all very much.